How many here wake up anxious in the morning? You say, oh, wait a minute, Pastor, the Bible says don't be anxious about anything. But how many of you wake up anxious to hear what God has to say to you that for that day? To get in God's presence, to see what He has, not just for Him to show you what you need to do for others, but what He needs to do in your life. Oh man, y'all raised your hands at once. You know, sometimes I think things take longer for us than they really should because sometimes we're not willing the way we should be. And maybe in some cases we're afraid what God's going to show us. But God never shows us anything without having a purpose and a reason, and it's not for your harm, it's for your good. Amen? Amen. This morning, let's just keep that in thought, in mind. I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't want to see God change their life. But the point is that there's sometimes when we get because of, I've probably been one of the most guilty people in my past. I still have a twinge of that. But where I don't understand people who don't act a certain way, think the way we think, you know, and yet I know what it's all about. But the point is, you know, that song we just sang, in His time, God deals with us in His time with the things that He knows are best for us for that moment. And since God's continually working with us day after day, then what we need to do is be mindful of that. And instead of worrying about somebody else and what they're doing or what they're not doing, we need to be seeking God for what He wants us to do. If we don't, then it's too easy to go from just, you know, observation to judgment. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'm excited about God. And, you know, I enjoy the fact that God shows me things. Some things are not comfortable, but that's okay. Again, He's showing you for your good, not for your harm. He's showing you so you can be what He wants you to be, what you need to be, trying to bring you up to a higher place in Him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Pray for me, because this message this morning, I'm excited about it, but there's some things we need to finally acknowledge and get right in our own lives. Let the Holy Spirit show you what is for you, and don't worry about what you think is for somebody else this morning. Amen? Do you hear me? It's very important, family of God, that we do that. You know, God just doesn't speak to us so we can tell somebody else. You know, we were never called to be the correctors of our brothers. Amen? Amen? We were not called. That's not what we were called to do. And if Jesus didn't come to judge or to condemn, then we don't have a right to either. So when we see wrong or we see something that doesn't quite fit with what we see in the Word of God or doesn't fit the example that we're trying to live, it's time to pray and to release that to God. Amen? God says He's given us everything. He's called us and equipped us, given us things, but sometimes we take and put those things on the shelf. And the point is, praying is not something we should just do on a Sunday morning when we get up, but it should be something that's the norm in our life. Praying and being in God's presence, being in His Word. You want to know something? Well, the more you get in the Word, the more you see, the more you understand, and the more the things that God's doing in your life get opened up and become clear to you. And there's change that takes place there. Amen? And so it's important that we do that. We've been given authority. It's been given to us. But let's don't put it on shelf, or let's don't, as they say with our light, let's don't hide it under a bushel and just kind of act like it's not there, because it is there. There has to be effort on our part. I'm just going to tell you something that I heard years ago. With God, it's always your move. You understand what I'm saying? When we pray and we ask God for things, God responds. He answers immediately. The problem is, then it's our move again, and we're waiting for something to happen. It's already happened, and we've already been told. And that's why you get in the Word, because then you know who you are, you know whose you are, you know what you have in Him. Amen. So if there's something lacking, once again, go to the Word. Consider your ways. Seek God. But the point is that some of the problems we face every day is because of complacency or omission. I know what I'm talking about. If you don't speak up, we know the good to do, and we don't do it, then that's where we get into trouble. Sin is just simply disobedience. Amen. That's all it is. It's just disobedience. You're wondering why you're under attack or why things aren't going right for you or why you go through the same problems time after time. Are you in the Word? Are you in His presence? Are you listening? Are you seeking God? Or you just wait for something to happen, and then all of a sudden you scramble to try to find an answer. Oh, my God. What do I do now? I see Him sitting in the heavens and laughing. And I'm reminded of that story about the flood that came in this community. And a man who loved the Lord was waiting for God to deliver him. And as he's praying, God sends a rowboat. And by this time, the water's just coming up to the trees. And so he's up in a tree, and the rowboat comes and says, come on, get in. We'll go to safety. Oh, no, I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. God will take care of me. Next time, the water's up to the eaves on the house, and he's standing on the roof, and a motorboat comes by this time, and he... They said, come on, get in the boat. We'll take you to safety. No, I'm waiting on God. Next thing you know, the water's clear up to the top of the chimney, and he's standing on the chimney, and a helicopter comes by and says, come on, we've come to take you to safety. No, I'm trusting God. And the man drowned. And when he stood before God, he said, God, I thought you were going to take care of me. He said, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more did you want me to do? I'm reminded of the man who went on a cruise, bought passage on a ship, and every night when dinner came around, and he's there, and of course when dinner came around, you know, he'd run down to his cabin, and he'd sit in his cabin and eat the sausage or bologna or whatever he had with his cheese and just, you know, eat there quietly by himself. And when they were done sailing and they got to their destination, the captain happened to see him. And the captain asked him, he said, sir, have we done something to offend you? Has our crew or have I done something to offend you, to wound you? To hurt you? I mean, did we not do something right? And he said, oh, no. He said, you've been very nice. And he told the man who had bought passage, he said, you know, I expected to see you at my table to have dinner with me every night, but I never saw you. So I thought maybe something was wrong. And the man says, oh, no. He says, I just didn't have a lot of money. And the captain says, no, you don't understand. It was all paid for when you bought your passage. And that's the way God is. That's the way God is. It's paid for. So he says, this is the way, walk in it. Amen? Sometimes we get into trouble and we don't understand why we're in trouble, but it's because we're not doing what the Word says to do. We're not putting into practice and using the tools and the weapons that God gave us. Are you with me? And then we wonder why things maybe not going right or why things don't seem to be as rosy as the picture we had in our mind. And while it's not comfortable sometimes to see what God shows us, you have to be aware. If you're not, then it's time you just sat back and looked and see what God's been doing in your life and the way He does it. I mean, He didn't come to you and say, well, you old ugly thing, if you just do things the way I tell you to do it, you know, everything will be a lot better. But He comes to you in love and compassion, even in the midst of our not walking in the way that He wants us to walk in and what we know is the truth. Amen? Every one of us knows the truth. Maybe not the total truth. Well, yes, we do too, because the total truth is Him. But the thing we know the things to do, but sometimes we just don't walk in it. Amen? And then we wonder why things aren't exactly, you know, something seems off, just a little slanted every time. You know. Turn with me, if you will, to John 8. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. God has never been vague or indirect about the things that He commands us to do. And He said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. First and foremost is a commandment to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as yourself. And then, from there, you go into the Ten Commandments, and then the other commandments that God tells you. There's many places in Scripture where He says, I command you this day. How many understand the Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions? Amen? And let me say that even if you're doing wrong, even when you do wrong, God does not turn His back on you. He says He has thoughts for you that are thoughts for good and not for evil, to prosper and not to harm you, and give you a hope and a future. Then He says, how many times would I? He was speaking to Israel at the time, and He says, how many times would I have gathered you? But you would not. You would not. This is why He says to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's disobedience. Let's lose that word sin for a moment. It's disobedience. He tells us if we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. Amen? That's what He said. How many here really believe you can take God at His word? Oh, don't all raise your hands. Why are you guys so timid? My goodness. I'm not ashamed. And I'm not ashamed to let people know where I stand and who I stand for and who I belong to. And I'm not ashamed also to say, yes, I am ashamed, but I'm not timid in saying, Father, I did wrong, or I missed it. I'm sorry. And I don't care if you know. That's part of accountability. That's part of transparency. Are you with me? Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 8, verses 1. Through, well, we may read all the way through verse 12. In fact, I think we will. It says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again to the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery." Now this is blatant sin. And the custom at that time, if you got caught in that kind of sin, honey, you were dead. They were going to stone you. That's the Mosaic law. It's not God's law, that's the Mosaic law. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Did you catch that? The wages of sin is death according to the world's standards and the world's way, but the gift of God is eternal life. The scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." If I can digress for just a minute, literally caught with her pants down. Come on. "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" See, they were a little antagonistic and they were trying to catch him. They were trying to make him a bad guy too. "Then they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience," where does conscience come from? It comes from God. Without God, you don't have a conscience. And there's no man who can say he doesn't have a conscience. You may choose to violate it to the point where it becomes not effective anymore in your life, but you've been given a conscience. And that's also that beginning, or that little opening to that space where only God fits in your life. Amen? Amen. "Convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are the accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you.'" Remember what John 3:17, 18 and 19 says. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now how do you do that? By being obedient to the Word of God. By walking in it, by living in it. If he's Lord, then he should be first place in everything, every word, every action that you do every day. In every way you in the way you live. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Now see, here were people who had forgotten. Self-righteousness had gotten a hold of them, and they had looked at this woman caught in the very act, and they were willing to point the finger. And yet the Word of God says, if you think it in your mind, you've already lusted in your heart. The thought is not the sin. It's the acting out of that sin. We're supposed to cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But you see, because they got somebody they could pick on, that they could lord over, and they could, you know, make themselves feel good about themselves, well, we're doing what Moses said. They wanted to kill her. But this time they ran into somebody who said, wait a minute, that's not my Father's plan. You got your ways and I got my ways. And my way is, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper and not to harm you. To give you hope and a future. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every good work. Well, no, we've probably talked about this 1.5 million times in this church. It's come from the pulpit, come in different situations, that we can't see the speck in somebody else's eye with all the things or the tree that's in our eye. And the picture there is the speck is minuscule in the scheme of things in somebody else's eye compared to the tree that's in your way. That means the things that are in your life that need to be straightened out. But yet you want to go and point a finger and you want to put somebody else in place, or you want to put somebody and to make yourself feel better, or whatever, for whatever reason. It's the enemy. Let's face it, it's just the enemy. Can we all say amen? That's not God. That's not like God. That's not walking in His image and likeness. That's not imitating God. That's flesh out of control. Amen? So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, I don't know, but maybe I'm crazy, but I assume the reason you come and you listen to some clown like me is because you want to be instructed in righteousness. Does that mean I'm perfect and I got all the answers? No, I got the answer, but so do you. And the key to it is listening to every word that comes out of His mouth. You don't live by bread alone, but by every word. And unfortunately, there are some folks who are just foolish enough to pick and choose what they want to believe and what makes them comfortable. If it makes them uncomfortable, well, I'll leave that alone. Okay. And you say you want to change? I'm confused. Amen. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, "For in Him dwells." That word "dwells" mean is resident. "For in Him is resident all the fullness." And that word "fullness" means abundance of the Godhead bodily. In Him is resident all the abundance of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete. And you know what that word "complete" means? Imagine that. Perfect in Him. Doesn't make any difference what somebody else thinks about you. God says if you're serving Him and you love Him and you're walking with Him, you're perfect in His eyes. Who is the head of all principality and power. And there's nothing going on anywhere that God is not in control of, that He's not aware of, and that He doesn't have an answer for. Sometimes it doesn't just drop. Sometimes it comes by being obedient and spending time in the Word and spending time with Him for those things to be exposed and to deal with those things. You know, I'm reminded in Jeremiah 17, 9, that the Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? No man knows the things of a man save the spirit of the man that's within the man." What does the Bible say? That the Spirit discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We're not talking about one of the gifts called discernment or discerning of spirits. We're talking about to discern what's in your heart. Not somebody else's, your heart. Maybe somebody's wronged you. Maybe you've wronged somebody. But the point is, God doesn't condemn you or the other person. He still loves you. He's grieved. He's sad. Because you're His creation. He created you. You know, I just love this. You know, people lose sight of the fact that there's consequences for our actions. You know, some folks fool around. You know, some of these young kids and even some older people fool around, and a baby comes and all of a sudden one or the other of them beat feet. "Split the scene, man. I'm out of here." How many remember the movie Courageous, where the young man finally confessed that he had a daughter? He was young and dumb. This was pre-salvation. And all of a sudden, God began to deal with his heart, and he began to see righteousness in the men that he worked with. And these men never claimed to be perfect, but they were pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He became convicted, and he accepted the Lord. And he realized that he, through his selfishness, had wronged the woman that he was with, and as a result, there was a child. "Well, I'm not ready to deal with it." Oh, bless your heart. Aren't you wonderful? And that's one of the things this society and this world is running from right now, is the responsibility that they bear. It's almost like there's no such thing as responsibility. Yeah, there's responsibility, but it's somebody else's responsibility, not mine. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good this morning. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read at least verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to make some emphasis. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." Everything you do becomes obnoxious. Oh, you don't like that, do you? Everything you do becomes obnoxious because you don't walk in love. Oh, you love, all right. Mama used to say to me, "I love me, who do you love?" Now, she was being facetious, but she was trying to prove a point to me, teach me a point. Is it about you or is it about somebody else? "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all kind and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing." I'm going to tell you a story here real quick. One night I had a dream. I was standing before St. Peter, and we were conducting business, you know, get to heaven. St. Peter said, well, we've got some administrative details we need to take care of. Then we're going to take you over, get your robe, your mansion, and your crown, and get you settled. I said, okay, let's go. We're walking along, and all of a sudden I saw somebody that I recognized. And, of course, like I said, I recognized him right away and acknowledged to Peter that I recognized that person. He said, but there was something that just didn't fit right. This guy was with an unpleasantly unattractive woman. And I said to St. Peter, what is he doing with that woman? And St. Peter said, well, that's his reward. And I thought about that for him. But I thought he was a good guy. You know, I was thinking in my mind, I thought he was a good guy. I thought he was really upstanding. Walk along for a little longer, and here was a guy, and he was with a more unattractive woman, if that's possible. And the same question to St. Peter, and St. Peter says, well, that's his reward. She's his reward. And after walking along for a little while again, finally I see somebody else that I knew, and this guy is just absolutely with a gorgeous woman. And I said, St. Peter, see, I knew that guy was a good guy. Oh, he said, oh, no, Bill. He said, he is her reward. Did you catch what I said? In other words, she was the one suffering because he wasn't anything to be, you know, really desired. Y'all didn't find that funny. I'm sorry. I hope so. Chapter 13, verse 4, 1 Corinthians. Love suffers long. I'm going to remember the scripture that says in Romans 8:18, I do not count the sufferings of this present time to be adequate to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. Now that's in us. That's paraphrased. Love suffers long, and it is kind. Not once in a while, not if you feel like it. Its characteristic always is kind. It does not envy. Envy's a mad thing, man. That can mess you up quick. You start envying. Well, but how come they got this and I don't? How come they look like they're doing so well and I'm doing so poorly? Consider your ways. Love does not parade itself. See the Pharisees and Sadducees. Can't you see the Pharisees and Sadducees? You know, they first of all, they didn't know what love meant. They couldn't even spell it. They're walking around, you know, I'm really something, you know. In other words, they love themselves, and then they want to know who loves them or who you love. It's not puffed up. That means it doesn't consider it's him, a person who loves does not consider himself in a higher place than somebody else. But a person who loves is always reaching out. It's not puffed up. I'm too good to talk to them. I'm too good to help them. I'm too good to do something for them. It's kind of like the people when the Good Samaritan came along and saw the man who was wounded and bleeding or, you know, alongside the road, and everybody else walked on the other side, even people who were supposed to be God's people, and it was the Good Samaritan who went and helped the man, paid out of his own pocket. You think God didn't have a blessing for that person? Think again. Chapter or verse 5. It does not behave rudely. See, your actions and your words speak about who and what you really are. Come on now. Amen. If you're walking the walk or walking the talk and not walking the walk, it's going to show. It does not seek its own. In other words, it's not selfish. It's not self-centered. It's not into me. Me, 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 me. It's always out for the other person. It's not provoked. That means nothing you do should be able to provoke me. I may not like what you do, but we're going to get into that in a few minutes here. I may not like what you do, but I'm commanded I have to still love you. I can't just write you off. Let me ask you, the last thing that you did that you know you messed up or you hurt God or you disobeyed God, did He just write you off? Man, I've had enough. You're on your own. I'm out of here. He never did that. You know why? Because He made a promise that He lived up to. He made a covenant with us that says He will never leave us nor forsake us. And He didn't qualify it by saying, unless. Are you with me? It thinks no evil. I don't care what's been done. I don't care if you feel it's been an attack or something that's done against you. You don't think evil. Your Bible says to think on things that are lovely and pure and of a good report and things that are praiseworthy. And if there is anything praiseworthy, think on those things. See, when you point a finger or you act in disgust against somebody else, you're forgetting that there's things in your life that are not right either, and you're just as guilty as that person. Amen? Amen. If you don't understand that, then it's easy to point a finger. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Now see, it's a bad response and yet a good response when we stop for a minute and say, what did I do to deserve this? And if we're thinking properly, that means we're examining ourselves first and seeing what we might have done to cause the reaction in the other person, to cause them to think evil of us or to be provoked towards us. Amen. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. In the truth. What is the truth? Jesus. Jesus. It bears all things. What did Jesus bear for you? When he went to the cross, even before he went to the cross, when he was arrested and taken into custody, what did he bear for you? That should have been you and I on that whipping post. That should have been you and I taking those stripes, wearing that crown of thorns. That's what we deserved. He didn't deserve it. Like the song says, he paid a debt he didn't owe. And we owe a debt we'll never be able to repay, as long as we live. But God did it because of love. Jesus laid down his life for those that he loved, for his brethren. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. John 19:30 says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It was done. Everything that he needed to do for you and I to be able to walk in this life and live the way he wanted us to live, in blessings, not cursings, in abundance and not lack, in soundness of mind and not insanity, spiritually sound, saved, considered to be a child. I'm not just a child of God or a creation of God, but a son and daughter of God. And that's what he paid for. And it wasn't just for you. It's for those around you too. For every person sitting in this room next to you or across from you. When we act unkindly, when we act outside of the character of what the Word says is the truth, and we do it just like we're walking around with our head in the clouds, tiptoeing through the tulips, everything's hunky-dory, and yet there may be somebody we've offended or somebody we've done wrong or something we've done that offended them in the way because they thought we were really something in the Lord or our walk was really good and we really knew the Lord, and they see something that may have not, maybe it wasn't a deliberate act, maybe it was. Maybe it was just a mistake, but they see that, then maybe they're offended. Or they become offended by some action or some word. Maybe something you said was a little harsh or unkind. Not meaning to, but you still said it. And now they're offended. Well, we're not going to deal with offenses today. We're going to talk about what the Word says. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18, verses 19 through 21, it says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. How many know that's the truth? How many have experienced that in your life? You've said or done something, maybe deliberately, or maybe just, you're crushed because, God, I didn't mean to do that. You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Oh, it's too late. You've already done it. Unforgiveness, boy. Right there. Unforgiveness in your face. And what do you do then? Do you fall on your face and ask God to forgive you? Do you release that person, that situation, to the hand of God where God can deal with it? Or you just turn around and say, well, whatever. Oh, what if God did that to you? How many times in a day do you offend Him or do something that He's not proud of or that you're not proud of? Come on now. I'm not trying to tear you down. This is going to have a good outcome. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. God says He hates strife. He hates discord. He hates discord. A man's stomach will be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. And then in verse 12, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Everything you say and do in your life either brings devastation, destruction, or comfort and love, and builds up and builds the kingdom of God. Where do you want to live today? That's why we're told when we read about the sacraments, when we take communion, Don't not discern the Lord's body correctly. It was broken for you. You're sitting there with that sacrament in front of you, and he didn't discuss whether you should or you shouldn't. He said, it's for you. My body was broken for you. This blood was shed for you, but it was shed for everybody else too that you're sitting with, that you know. In fact, maybe you don't know him. Ladies and gentlemen, family of God, creation and destruction are in the words and speech not only of God's mouth, but they are in our mouth too. They affect our future, they affect our today, and they affect our tomorrow. You see, they're creative words, whether negative or positive. You're creating an atmosphere by the words you speak and by your actions that are going to affect you tomorrow. You want to know why you're not blessed and walking in the fullness of God? Maybe it's time to go back and see what happened yesterday and what you spoke out of your mouth. Was it faith? Was it blessing? Was it agreement with the Word of God? Or was it something that was derogatory? Something that would tear down? Something that was meant to destroy? And hey, the enemy means all of this to destroy people when it's negative. He means it to destroy people. And you know what? It ultimately come down to restore, destroy you. Amen. James 3, verses 8 and 10 through 10. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. How can you get sweet water and bitter water out of the same fountain? And the answer is, you can't if you know God, if you're saved, if you know Him. How can you bless God and then curse your brother? That person next to you, being whether it's male or female, is either the daughter or the son of God. Did you hear me? And God didn't ask your opinion. God did not ask your opinion. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Jesus never considered a suffered wrong. And he says we can do the same thing if we're in him. No matter what the situation or circumstances in our lives, he is more than enough. And he's done more than enough. If it's not good enough for you, then you need to consider where you're at and what you're thinking, what you're believing, and consider your ways. It might not be the situation that's wrong, it might be you that's wrong. Just a minute, I'm going to have Patrick, and when I read this next scripture, I'm going to have Patrick put some things up on the board. We're going to talk on the screen, and we're going to talk about them. Psalm 34:18 and 19 says, the Lord is near those who have a broken heart and saves, and that word means delivers, such as have a contrite, and that word contrite means grieving and penitent spirit. So the Lord saves those who have a broken heart and delivers such as have a grieving and penitent spirit. Repentance. David was indignant when he found out that somebody had gone and he had killed a woman's husband, so that that person could be in infidelity with that person. And when the prophet came to him and told David, David got angry. David didn't look in the mirror, did he? He got angry. And he said to the prophet, he said, where is that person? I'll have him put to death this very hour, this minute. And the prophet looked him in the face and said, you are that man. And David didn't fly off the handle, and he didn't get mad at God, and he didn't get mad at the prophet. He fell right there and repented in sackcloth and ashes, considered his own ways, and realized that he had done wrong. See, in our flesh, we do things and we say things and we act certain ways that are not God. But that's because our flesh is out of control. And we can make all excuses in the world, but it doesn't stand up in the court of God. Did you hear me? It doesn't stand up in the court of God. Psalms chapter 8, verse 5. Patrick? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. He's talking about you and I He's talking about us. Made us a little lower than the angels, but He crowned us with glory and honor. And if God blesses a person, if God's blessing on a person, how can we curse them? You can't. If you've got a right heart inside you, you can't. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. 18, 21 and 22. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven times. And that's daily. If you can do the math, it's 449 times a day. And he didn't qualify whatever the wrongdoing was or whatever the offense was. He said, you forgive as I have forgiven you. If you want to be forgiven. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. It's whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. It's that simple. There's no argument. There's no discussion. It's what He said, and that's the way it is. Either walk in it and walk in the blessings, or you deny it, run from it, and walk in the curses. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. And forgive, and you will be forgiven. Family of God, when something happens, okay, I don't care what it is, I don't care how horrendous it seems to you, look at the horrendous things that you did that sent Jesus to the cross and the people before you. And He didn't deserve it. But He did it so you wouldn't have to go through the punishment. Even though, as they say in some circles, you may be an old ugly thing. And I'm not talking about your looks. I'm talking about the way you live and your life. It's not just the outward appearance. It's the inward appearance. It's what's in the heart that manifests in the natural. Amen? How many know that? Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. By rebuke him, it doesn't mean you tell him what kind of a worm he is or she is. It means you tell him, you know what? I was bothered by that. I didn't like that. I'm not sure you knew what you were doing. Or maybe you did know what you were doing, but that's not the point. The point is, could Jesus forgive you? Are you in the image and likeness of Jesus? Then what's your response? I forgive you. It says, if he repents, and they say, I'm sorry, man, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. It doesn't make any difference what happened. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And then you go on. Last one, 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Hallelujah. We're created in the image and likeness of God. And we are the children of God, the sons and daughters of God. And we're seated at the right hand with Him. And we have an obligation. We have a command, a mandate to walk in forgiveness. I don't care what the deed or deeds were. I don't care who did them. And I don't care how justified you feel in your feelings. If we don't act like Jesus and if we didn't do the same thing, He just got done telling us in His Word, don't expect Him to forgive you because you can't forgive and release. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again that when you study that word forgiveness, it doesn't mean forgive like we think of forgive. It means release. And if you release everything to God, if you'll release everything to God, everything, then He can make it right for you, first of all, and then for the other person, and then cause whatever restitution he deems necessary. See, you and I don't have the power or the authority to say, I forgive you in that manner, thinking that we can forgive somebody, because we never forget. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the only way we know it is by the Word of God. Amen? Forgiveness is a life and death struggle for some. Your spiritual health and blessing hinges on your ability to release circumstances and people to God. That means even your circumstances and yourself. Forgiveness, defined in the Strong's Dictionary, is to release. We are to release every struggle, circumstance, and conflict to the Lord. Amen? See, the enemy inhabits unforgiveness and unrighteousness like the Father inhabits the praises of His people. When you operate the way He operates, the enemy I'm talking about, you're praising Him. You're exalting Him. Where your focus is where your praise is. Where you're focused is where your exaltation, where you what you exalt is what you focus on. Is your focus on the Lord today, or is it on something else? Maybe something's happened. You know, it's amazing to me how we can do something, we'll ask for forgiveness, and then we're startled when somebody doesn't forgive us or doesn't release us from that wrong. But yet we expect that they'll do that for us, but we don't have to. It's a one-way street. No, it's a two-way street. As you forgive, you will be forgiven. We just read it. It's right there in the Word. It's not my idea, not my words. John 20:23 says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, is there anybody here who doesn't understand that scripture? In other words, if you have something... Yes, ma'am. It says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And that means that it hinges on you and your actions. But you need to understand that whichever side you take, you're either bringing blessing on yourself or you're bringing cursing on yourself. It's that simple. It's not rocket science. If somebody does something against you and you say, I release you to God, it's in His hands, I love you. The Bible says love your enemies. Well, I think someone who did something wrong to you would qualify, wouldn't they? Amen. Amen. But if you retain those sins, that means if you harbor them and you play with them and you keep wrapping yourself around them or they keep wrapping themselves around you like a security blanket, guess what, honey? You're not forgiven. And you've stepped out from underneath the blessings of God and the good things of God. And that's not God's plan. That grieves the heart of God. I mean, if it was me, I'd be standing there if I was the Lord and saying, but wait a minute, what did I do for them? What did I do for that individual? And now they can't do the same for somebody else? And I don't care what the sin is sin, and it's nasty in anybody's eyes. And there is no degree. I don't care if you stole a penny candy, or you murdered somebody. You're still guilty of all the Bible says. What's He forgiven you for? What's brought you to the place you are now? What does your life reflect? The love, the blessings, the grace, the mercy of God, or ugliness? Unforgiveness. Not releasing things to God. Not allowing God to heal you and the other person. Are you with me? Matthew 16:19 says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. He's given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. Now let me tell you what that means. That word bind in the first part of that verse means, so here's the way it reads, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you put under obligation or you tie on earth will be bound in heaven. It'll be tied in heaven. Same bound and tie, or you know, bound and bind are the same word. And whatever you loose, and that word loose means declare unlawful or dissolve on earth, will be loosed in heaven, or declared unlawful and dissolved in heaven. Now, what does that mean? You've been declared righteous. You've been declared clean because of the blood of Jesus and because of what Jesus did. And He put His period on it and said, it is finished. It is finished. And then he gave up the ghost. Remember, everything in our life is about sowing and reaping. Amen. Amen. It's about sowing and reaping. What you sow, you will reap. If you want to look at another scripture in Matthew, it's Matthew 18:18, and it says, "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven." Miss Jean? Say what? It puts responsibility on you, doesn't it? You can't blame God, and you can't blame the other person. There's a song out. How many have heard the song that if God were to record, I can't remember the exact words, but if he recorded our deeds, how many of us would stand? That's a scary thought, too. If he kept a record of what we do, then we're in trouble. We're in serious trouble. James 1:27, we are told in the last part of that verse that we're supposed to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. What does that mean? That means we don't look like the world, we don't smell like the world, and we don't live in the world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Amen? Glory to God. Let me just share with you. The key is we have the ability to do what's right. It's our choices that get us into trouble. Because if we know to do good and don't do it, God says it's sin or disobedience. But the motivation behind what we do should be remembering what God has done through Jesus for us. For us. Well, but Pastor Bill, I didn't murder anybody. I didn't steal anything. I don't care. If the Bible says, what a man, the Scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. See, your heart's revealed by everything and every action and by every word that comes out of your mouth. It's revealed where your heart is. Once again, you can pour syrup on yourself and call yourself a pancake, but that doesn't make you a pancake. You can stand in a garage and call yourself a car, but that doesn't make you a car. You can sit in church and say, I'm a Christian, and not walk by the according to the Word of God, and not live in what the Word says, and it's God's decision whether you're a Christian or not, not mine. But I know that the Bible says your fruit will expose who you are. You can't run from it. By our love, they will know that we are Christians. Amen? Matthew 11:25-26. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive, and that word is release, him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive or release you your trespasses. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. I don't think it can be said any simpler or any more to the direct and to the point. Romans 12:19 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. I can remember as a kid when something happened to me, right or wrong, whether I was right and they were wrong, or they were right and I was wrong, I'm going to get you. I'll get even. I'm going to get even. Oh, really? Okay. What you sow, you will reap. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Thank God I didn't know the Lord at that time. Too many people think the word applies to somebody else and not to them. And yet they look for and anguish for the blessings of God, and they can't figure out why they don't have them. Why they live in misery and poverty and trouble and, are troubled in their minds and their emotions all the time. God paid so much. How will we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Is your salvation great today? Do you revere what God did for you? Or is it just something you go through the motions? Folks, God's talking to us. He's talking to me. It isn't just pointing a finger at somebody or people here or at people out there. It's right here. If it's not here, it doesn't make no sense. I don't care what happens out there. If it's not here, I'm the one that's in trouble, not somebody out there. God will deal with him. But right now, he's dealing with me. And I pray he's dealing with you too. Now, maybe it's not unforgiveness you're walking in. Maybe it's not something like that, but it's something else that you've done that you know is wrong. You haven't made restitution. Or maybe somebody's done something to you. And because of the pride and the arrogance of your life, I have my rights. Yeah, you got the right to go to hell. You sure do. And God will love you every moment of your life until you draw your last breath and wind up in hell. Because you can't run or get away from the love of God. And if we're God's kids, we have to be the same way. How do we do that? Am I capable? Are you capable? No. No. It comes by being surrendered to the will of God and being His child and allowing His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to show us in our hearts. And He wants to. He's heartbroken when we don't walk in the things that He's given us. Like that man at the first, the two men, the one who was looking to be saved, who drowned. God sent two boats and a helicopter. And the man couldn't understand why he didn't make it to heaven. Because you rejected the help of God. You viewed it as something else. You didn't understand what God had done. It's like the man in the boat who went down in his cabin and ate the crackers and salami or whatever. And here there were myriads and bushels of wonderful food up there to eat. Dine at the captain's table as an honored guest. Because he didn't understand what happened when he paid for his passage. He went down there and just existed on his crackers and sausage and cheese. He didn't discern the fullness of God, the blessing. He didn't understand what his rights were when he paid for that passage. It's not sin if you don't understand the fullness of what God's done from you. It's sin if you stay there and reject and don't walk in what God shows you. Get in the Word. Get in the presence of God. Allow Him to heal your heart and then heal others. For those of you who weren't here to see the last film we showed at our fellowship, The Grace Card, here was a police officer who was angry at the whole world, hated everything and everybody, because some perpetrator did something wrong and murdered his son, his first son. It wasn't until that hatred was manifest in the fact that he was doing his job, his second son was doing wrong, he was rebelling, but because dad wasn't living up to the same standards we saw in Courageous. It's not the movie, it's the standards that made the movie, the Word of God, the lifestyle. And he ends up going to a burglary one night. Some guy in a hood walks out, and the cop ends up shooting him because he's got a gun in his hand, and it turns out to be his own son. And then you get glimpses of this black gentleman who came in, who was the one who murdered his first son in a robbery or whatever was going on. And he walked into this church. And of course, the man who was the pastor was his partner, the other police officer. And he's questioning, God, what's going on? I don't understand. Things don't seem to be going right. I can't get through to my partner. But he put his pride aside and he put all that aside and he went because he loved that man, because he knew God loved that man. And he put his arms around him. And that night at an altar in a church, the white police officer gave his life to the Lord. It's got nothing to do with ethnicity. It's got to do with people. The creation of God. And then finally, by the end of the service came, and of course, there was an older gentleman who influenced the man who was a pastor of that church, the other partner of that police officer. And he gave him a piece of paper that he had received many years ago called the Grace Card, which said, no matter what, I love you and I forgive you, more or less. And all of a sudden, this man in these African costumes, the attire that he would wear in his native country, walked up. And he said, sir, I'm the man that killed your son. And the man put aside the hatred. The white police officer put aside the hatred. And he handed him the Grace Card that he'd been given. He said, I forgive you. I release you. See, God's kingdom rejoiced that day because two men who needed to know the Lord came to the Lord. God's full of grace, full of mercy. For us to walk in that, to receive that, and to live in that grace and mercy, we have to be full of grace and mercy. We can't sit there and dwell day in and day out on whatever puny little thing. Let me tell you, compared to what Jesus died for, it's puny. We can't. Human nature says, I'll give. Human nature says, man, until I'm satisfied, it's not. I'm not going to accept anything until I'm satisfied. Well, guess what, honey? You're never going to be satisfied. And you may just satisfy yourself right into hell because you reject the Word. Don't do that today. How will we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In closing, Proverbs 10, verse 12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. Love covers all sin. Past, present, future. The love of God, the gift of God, the gift of God that Jesus came and willingly did what He did. Even though He was reviled and spat upon, rejected by His very own. Isn't it amazing that Jesus could do no mighty works in His own country, in His own town, around His own people? We know who you are. You couldn't possibly be the Savior. You couldn't possibly be somebody who's going to do us any good. We know you're just a carpenter's son. And they didn't realize they were putting away or rejecting the only hope they ever had or that would ever come for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember, God doesn't condemn anybody. He wants you to come to Him, to run to Him, and let Him put His arms around you. You know, I'm going to remind you again, when my children were little, I told them, I said, whatever you do, I don't care what kind of trouble you get into, if you get in trouble, don't run from me, run to me, because that's where there's safety. I may not like what you did, and I may not be able to do anything about it, but I will walk through it with you. We'll get through it, and when it's done, I will never throw it in your face. And you know what? It wasn't because I had the ability, but because of God's ability, I was able to live up to that commitment. Amen? Don't run from God. Don't deny the truth. Don't lie against the truth. If there's something going on in your life today, I don't care what it is, today is the day you can get free. Today is your day of salvation. I'm not talking about eternal life here. I'm talking about walking in the blessings of God right now. Getting rid of the past. Letting the past go. The Bible says if we live in the past or we look back at what's happened behind us, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. I didn't write that. That's God's word. God loves us. We need to love one another. Families. Brothers, sisters, friends, acquaintances, husbands, wives, we need to love one another with the same unconditional, unchanging, unalterable love of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you need prayer today, don't go without prayer, but be ready to receive. Make the commitment in your heart. You're going to receive and you're going to walk in what God has and what God's given. Don't do it halfway. Don't play with God. Do it seriously if you really mean it. And you're going to walk out of here a different person today. Remember how clean you felt the day you gave your life to Jesus? You may not have had bells and whistles going off, and you may not have had angels come down and dance around your head or anything like that, but you knew that you'd made a commitment. Amen? And then when the realization sank in, you were free, and you knew it. Let that be what happens today in your life. Amen? Amen. God loves you. I love you. I wouldn't want to stand before God was something that was keeping me from walking in His blessings or keeping me from standing in all that He had for me when I stand before Him. Because it's ultimately going to come out and you won't be able to run from it or deny it there. Amen. Amen. If you want prayer, you need prayer today. If you're willing to say, I need prayer. I see something and there's something going on that maybe the Holy Spirit just showed you what's happening. This isn't a place of ridicule. This is a place of blessing and freedom where you get free, where you are free, and you're safe. You know that silly commercial and what they say about Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What you take to the Lord stays with the Lord. And it's the same here. There's nobody here pointing a finger of judgment at you or condemnation. What right does somebody have to point a finger of judgment and condemnation when God Himself and His Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, doesn't do that? Amen. If you need prayer, please, don't leave. If it's just raising your hand or just asking one of the elders to come pray with you or somebody to come pray with you, please do it. Please do it. See, when you hold God responsible for the actions of a human without God, another old saying is you're barking up the wrong tree. God's not responsible. The only time a man is not accountable for his own actions is when he's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Other than that, we're accountable. I mean, we're accountable for the good and the bad. When a person doesn't know the Lord and all they see is these kind of things, then what's going to happen? That hatred's going to personify. And when you're a Christian and you don't walk in forgiveness, and you don't walk in the things that God says, it's like you're putting on a garment with holes in it. You're supposed to be in king's robes. Amen? In priestly robes. But you're wearing a garment that's full of holes. You're exposed. You're exposed. People know. And a lot of times, it's by the very words of your own mouth that they know where you stand and what's going on in your life. It's not, they don't have to pass judgment. All they got to do is hear what you're saying. Because you're going to reveal. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. Whether another human being ever knows it or not, God knows. And that's enough to scare the fire right out of me. Or if you will, scare the hell out of me. Father, right now in Jesus' name, raise your hands towards Karen and Bob. Father, we lift up this situation, Jerry, and you know what happened, Lord. Right now we send your word and we send the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Minister to these two men. Lord, it's the enemy's plan to kill and steal and destroy. He wants to kill and destroy the relationship that should be there between two people who are related, Lord, which is an epitaph and an image of what goes on in this world. There is no love except for self, Lord, in this world right now. We know that by your word. So, Lord, we send your word right now into that situation. Lord, reveal yourself by the Holy Spirit to these two men. Lord, with your love, wrap your arms around them and show them that you and your way is the answer. You, Lord, are the way, the truth, and the life. So we release this to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that what we prayed for, what we expect, and what the prayer of faith has been prayed, so we receive that in Jesus' name, and we'll believe no other report. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long it takes, Lord, before they draw their last breath. They will turn to you and know you. And because of the righteousness and godliness of Karen and Bob, Lord, this will come to pass. Because you said not only us, but our houses would be saved when you spoke to that jailer through Paul and Silas. They'll inquire what they need to do to be saved, and they will be saved in Jesus' name. We thank you for your promise. We believe your promise, Lord, and we stand on it now. Send your grace and your mercy, Lord, and your goodness in Jesus' name. You make it right, and it has to start with us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name, Lord. And I pray for all the rest here today, Lord. We pray, Lord, for their safety. We pray for release and the things they need release. We pray for forgiveness and repentance where it needs to be, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you've done and you're doing a mighty work in people today. Your love, Lord. And you are amazing. You're amazing, Lord. praise you, Jesus. Yeah, well, Lord, you know what's going on. We thank you for protection. We thank you for safety. And we thank you for ministering to his heart, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we reject no one. We reject no one. Because you don't reject people, Lord. They choose whether they're going to serve you or they're not. Thank you for your love going out, touching Frank, and anyone else who might not be here today, Lord. David, pray for David since he's not here, Lord. And we just give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, what a great message you had for us this morning through Pastor Bill. It really touched my heart, Heavenly Father. And I thank you for humbling me with what you told me today about myself. And I pray that everyone here was blessed by this word today, Heavenly Father. And I'm just at a lack of words on how to express the feelings that I have. But Father, because of what your son Jesus did, I stand here before you and am just so thankful for the love that you've shown to me, Heavenly Father. And we ask you to bless each and every person that's here today and to strengthen them and to let them take this word and get it implanted in their heart so that they can go out and share it with others, so that we, as a small church here, can help change the world. Heavenly Father, we also ask you to bless this offering and tithes that we're about to take and to use them for the goodness of your kingdom here on this earth. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Jesus, and renew a right spirit.
Hearts clear this morning. Father, right now we thank you and praise you for your mercy and your grace and for restoration. We thank you for this time we've had together in your presence, Lord. We exalt and we extol you. We lift you up, Lord, to the very highest place in this house and in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for healing, delivering, restoring people today, Lord. In Jesus' name now, Lord, bless your people. Go with them. Let your face shine upon them. May your blessings overtake them and be upon them in everything they do and say. Bless our time of fellowship and be with those again, Lord, who couldn't be here today and for those who might have to leave now. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you. You have been here today with us. In Jesus' name, amen.